Okay, well, it's good to be again in the Lord's house. Take your Bibles again today and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Say the weather's going to be pretty next week, they say too. I'm thankful for that. Thank God for every day He gives us here on this earth. And I'm thankful you being here today. If you're visiting with us, welcome today to our class. Those of you that are regular here, thank you for being faithful to the Lord's house. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you today. We thank you for life. We thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, the opportunity, once again, to gather together here in this place that you've allowed us to have. And we ask you now, Lord, as we open the Word of God, may the teacher be the Holy Spirit. Lord, may He direct our thoughts, our actions, our minds, Lord, our gestures, everything we do, Lord. I pray, God, that we bring honor and glory to you. Help your people today, Lord, to be encouraged. Help us today to realize, Lord, our responsibilities, even as your children here in this world in which we live. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of the body of Christ. Lord, the living body of Christ, the church. God, now I pray, Lord, you would just strengthen us together as we look at your word today. Be with those that are sick, those that are hurting today, dear God. Lift them up and encourage them. Be with the family, Lord, that's lost a loved one. Lord, encourage them also and comfort them during this time. Thank you again for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Ephesians last week, we talked about we talk about many weeks now, the gifts. We talked in verse number 11 about how Christ himself gave gifts to the church. He gave gifts for the provision of the church, for the welfare of the church. And we find these gifts were for men primarily, and these gifts primarily included the speaking and the proclaiming of the Word of God. We're talking about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors. And these were gifts that he gave to establish the church. And we find that these gifts were also to show here the Lord's desire for his church, that it might be promoted, that it might be honored, and there might be his grace be manifested also to a world through him as he did this. He also seeked to make the church complete and make it glorious. It's why he presented these gifts, these men, with these extraordinary abilities, again, to help the church. Also, to make the church complete, I said, and to make it glorious. Also, he did this for as of one body, he is the head. And in that one body that he could empty himself, his fullness, pour his fullness in as it grows. And that's what church, God works through the church today. And I'm thankful that we can be part of his church, part of the body of Christ. So we see last week as we went through that, and the gifts of God and how he gave them to the church and everything. And we also emphasized this last week, that the very importance of it. Again, these five gifts, that is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors, again, all included or represented being able to speak, being able to proclaim the truth of God's word. God gave these people this ability to do that for him. And there we are. Now today, as we look at ourselves as believers today, I want us to analyze ourselves and see our responsibility as children of God, as believers today. As believers today, we have a responsibility in our lives for the work of God as a part of God's children, part of God's church. Now notice, even as believers, we should... Now, we're not apostles, okay? We're not prophets. Most of us are not evangelists, maybe pastors or even teachers. But I'm speaking as a believer, as a believer today, we all, when we look at this thing, as a believer, as an apostle, in essence, we're serving Christ faithfully, aren't we? We're representing Him faithfully. So in a sense, we are maybe an apostle in this way. As apostles, they were faithful to God, and you and I as believers are to be faithful to Christ in serving Him. Not only that, as believers, we see every believer should be as a prophet. That is, we should daily be proclaiming the Word of God. In other words, make an effort every day to tell somebody about God's Word. Proclaiming His Word daily, you see. At the grocery store, at the gas station, where we go, places of businesses, try to tell somebody about Christ. In other words, proclaim the Word of God. So even as believers, we can, in essence, consider ourselves maybe an apostle, maybe a prophet, or maybe as an evangelist also. Believers, we are to be telling the lost about Christ, trying to win people to Christ. So we see as believers, we have this responsibility. And as a believer, even as a pastor, we're to be caring for other people and trying to help their needs be met. We're to be caring as a believer to other people that we come in contact with. And even as a believer, as a teacher, we are to be teaching the Word of God to those of us to those that we know in our lives. And we all have people, we all have relatives, we all have family and friends that need to know the Word of God. I've said so many times, and you know, it's amazing how little people in the world today know about the Bible. It really is. And maybe it is our responsibility. Maybe we're not fulfilling our responsibility as we should in teaching people the Bible. You know I come short sometimes of relatives and friends that I have. We talk about everything in the world, but we don't mention the Bible much. We don't mention God's Word much to them, you see. And that's what they need to hear. They may not like it, but they need to hear it. They need to hear it, you see, especially if they're lost. So today, we're going to look in verse number 12, Ephesians 4:12 through verse 16. And today, as we look at these today, we're going to talk about here the gifts in the church among God's people. The gifts in the church among God's people. Now, we're not going to talk about the gifts specifically, but we're going to talk about, first of all, the purpose for the gifts. The purpose for the gifts. We talked about the purpose for the apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, we're going to talk this morning in verses 12 through 16 about the purpose for, again, the gifts in the church among God's people. Now, let's read these verses first, and we'll come back to them. Verse number 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, we see first of all, in verse number 12, we see here the first purpose of the gifts among the children of God in the church. First of all, we notice that the purpose is for an immediate purpose, immediately. Notice it says, "For the perfecting of the saints." The perfecting of the saints. Now, perfecting here speaks about making complete, making mature. See, whenever I got saved, I wasn't mature in Christ. I was a babe in Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. When we're saved, we are babes in Christ. And babes in Christ desire what? The milk of the Word, right? We have to have the milk of the Word of God in order to begin to grow. And as we have the milk of God taught to us, we begin to grow. And as we grow, we want to wean ourselves, so to speak, off the milk of the Word of God and get into what we call the meat of the Word of God, which helps us to grow thereby. So we see here these gifts in the church among God's people are for the perfecting of the saints. That is the maturity of the saints, the completeness of us. Help us to grow and to be what we ought to be, what we can be, for the honor and for the glory of God, you see. We all need to grow. No matter how long you've been saved, no longer how long you've known the Lord, we all still need to grow. This Christian life is something growing. It's going to last us till God calls us home. Never stop growing. Always be teachable. I've heard that all my life, as a Christian especially. Always be teachable. You can always learn something. You've heard the story. You can't teach an old dog what? New tricks. Well, as far as a Christian is concerned, all of us, no matter what age we are, we can still learn from the Word of God. God's Word is inexhaustible. You can't learn it all. It's impossible. Therefore, we need to have a desire to grow in the Word of God and know more about God. So we see here the purpose is an immediate purpose. That is the gifts in the church among God's people to help us to mature ourselves, to grow in the Lord, you see. We see the officers, as we talked about in verse number 11 here, were appointed in order that everything in the church might be well arranged. Everything might be in order, okay? That the church might be complete. But now when it comes to believers, we see it is that Christians may have every possible advantage today to become complete. Complete in love, complete in knowledge, complete in order. God wants us to be that way as His children. Therefore, we find these gifts. That's what they're for, to help us to grow. Listen, none of us, all of us today, we're Christians, we're believers today, we all have the obligation, we all have the responsibility, folks, to grow spiritually. Now, it's up to us as individuals whether we grow or not, but we need to grow. It's our responsibility to grow and become mature, not always be a babe. We see here, for the perfecting of the saints. Notice also, it says in verse number 12, for the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Basically, I think the work of the ministry is to serve. It's to serve. What a privilege it is to be able to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. That's do things for Him. When you serve people, you do what they need to be done. You see? And that's the way it is in the work of the ministry. Whatever comes up, that's what we do. Is serving people and serving the Lord through people, you see. And therefore, we find these gifts enable us to be able to serve people and want to serve people. You know, it's one thing to serve people because you want to. You know, I love to do things for people. Most of you do. I know all of you do. And what a privilege it is God has given us to be able to have that gift, to want to be a server, to want to be a server, to do whatever has come up. We got people in this church that'll do anything in the world. All we gotta do is just call them and say, "Hey, I need this done," and they'll run and do it. That's great. You know, that's the way it ought to be, you see, in God's church, you see. So we see here the work of the ministry, that is to establish and to build up the church. To establish the church and to build up the church. We see here the perfecting of the saints and also the work of the ministry here. Now, we see this is to equip believers to do the work of the ministry. Serving is equipping people, getting people prepared to do what they need to do. I've said this before, I'll say it again. How do we learn mostly? We learn mostly by what? Doing. By doing, okay? If I never do anything, chances are I'm not going to learn a whole lot in life. But as I do something, I learned, first of all, by my mistakes, you know, not to do that way again, not to do it that way again, you see. So we see here that we need to learn, and we do this by equipping people. All believers must be involved in the work of the ministry. There's not one amongst us today that doesn't need to be involved in the work of the ministry. Not only here, but out there. There's work for us all to do. Work for us all to do. And may the Lord help us and strengthen us and enable us that we recognize our responsibility as God's children to be a server, to get in the work of the ministry, you see, to lead people, to help people, to guide people, you see, in the way they ought to go, to make disciples and prepare people to serve Christ is very important. If you know someone that's just been saved recently, we ought to not smother them, but we surely ought to be around them and encourage them and try to do everything we can to give the Word of God to them to help them, you know, to grow in the Lord because they need that guidance. They need that guidance, and you and I need to be people to help people. We need to be servers in God's work. To be a servant is so important. All believers must be equipped. All believers must be equipped, first of all, to reach the lost. That's the most important thing we can do in our lives as Christians, is to try to reach those that are lost, because they need the Lord, folks. They need the Lord. I really believe we're living. If we're not living in the last days, I don't know what to say. I know we've got to be in the last days because of the things that are happening in this world. How in the world can God, I know it's only through His long suffering, continue to permit the things that are taking place in this world today, especially the attack the world has upon His Son Jesus Christ as not being who He says He is. Listen. God will stand for a lot of things. I really believe that. God is long-suffering towards a lot of things. But when it comes to devaluating and putting down His Son, I really believe He's not going to put over that much longer. I really believe that with all my heart. So therefore, we have a lot to do, and we have a short time to do it in. So our primary objective is, as believers, that we must be equipped to reach the lost, people in this world, and also to minister to the needs of others. To minister to the needs of others. That is serving others, as we already said, you see. Others need help. Others need our prayers. Others need our encouragement today. Do you know that? They do. We all need to encourage one another. And therefore, as believers, we need to realize our responsibility. First is to do what, class? To reach the lost. Say it with me. To reach the lost. That's our responsibility as children of God. Did we realize that today? It's our responsibility to witness to people and try to get people saved. Give them a try. Do something. You know, if all of us would do something, there will be some effects that maybe we might could see and be obvious in our lives, you see. And I'm going to present something to you in just a few minutes about this. And you can help us, how we need your help in doing something like this. But we see that all believers here, these gifts that we've mentioned here in the church, are going to mention here in the church, among God's people, are for the perfecting of the saints and also for the work of the ministry. Now notice verse number, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's building up the body of Christ, encouraging the body of Christ. Now notice verse 13. Verse 13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice the work of the ministry here. That is to establish and to build up the church. To establish it and build it up. You see, to bring about a perfect unity among God's people. Turn over to 1 Peter, just a few pages. To bring about the unity among God's people. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of what? One mind. the unity. One mind having what? Compassion. Notice, one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. See, these gifts in the church among God's people are for the bringing about a perfect union among the believers, bringing us together, Listen, the only thing in this world that can bring people together is the salvation of their soul through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only thing that can unify this world in which we live. It's Him, Jesus Christ. He's the unifier. He's the one that can bring us all together, you see? Because of His love towards all of us, you see. We see the work of the ministry is to lead people into harmony and oneness of spirit. Harmony and oneness of spirit. What a great opportunity we have as children of God to be in harmony, to be in love one towards another. And this is what He's emphasizing here that we need to be in here, in harmony. Also, to bring about the knowledge of the Son of God, He says here. To bring about the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Knowing more, becoming more acquainted with Jesus Christ. Knowing Him personally, loving Him personally, living for Him personally. You see, our lives should be centered around who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Learning and loving Him more every day. You know, we used to sing the song. We don't sing in this class. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Well, I wonder, is it? Well, I think it ought to be. We ought to strive to make it that way. And we can make it that way by learning more about Him. Learning more about Him, see. Learning and having the knowledge of Christ. Till we all hold the same truth. We all have the same truth. The truth is the Bible. We carry this truth with us. We teach this truth. We present this truth. And this is what unifies us. This is what helps us as children of God every day in our life, you see. So we're talking about bringing about a perfect unity among God's people. Notice it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Notice, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, to be like Christ. To be like Christ. Now, he's not talking about the stature. When he's talking about stature, he's not talking about to be as high as Christ was and all that. He's talking about His character. Being more like Jesus Christ, His character, the person that He was. Someone who loved people. Someone who He literally died for people. He served people. And again, we go back to this thing about serving, you see. Till we all have the same confidence in the Son of God. I don't know about you, I have confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. I have confidence in Him. I trust Him more than anybody in this world. More than anyone I've ever known in my life. I can trust Him because I've become acquainted with Him. And the more I become more acquainted with Him, the more I depend upon Him. And the more I look up to Him and respect Him, you see, because of who He is, what He's done for me, what He's done for mankind. Listen, He deserves our honor. He deserves our praise. He deserves our service. While we have health, while we have the opportunity here on this earth. One day, our serving Christ is going to be over, folks. This young man that passed away, Brother Alford's family here, his days of serving Christ are over. One day, our days are going to be over. Individually, we're going to go out of here, or as a church, we're going to go out of here. You know, I wonder, have I done my best? Have I done my all? You know? In serving Him. Well, we see here these gifts among the church of God's people. We see these help us to be able to do that way. We see here, first of all, there is an immediate purpose, then there is an eternal purpose. Eternal purpose. And that's to bring about this perfect unity among God's people. We see here, till we all have the confidence in Jesus Christ. That we need to have. We need to have confidence in Him. To bring about a perfect man to the fullest stature. Grown up, mature in the Lord. grown up and mature in the Lord is what or should be our desire. Notice also in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more, well, who? That we henceforth be no more who? Children. Children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a personal purpose also in these gifts. A personal purpose in these gifts among God's people. And that is that we no longer be children. We no longer be immature. No longer be immature. I wonder today how many people get saved in their life and never grow in the Lord. Never grow in the Lord. Listen, God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow up. He don't want us to be led astray by other doctrines, by things that are not true. You know, it's amazing how you can go and you can maybe turn on the television or the radio, whatever you listen to. It's amazing, though, how if you're a child of God and you stay in this book, how the Spirit of God gives you discernment of something that is wrong when you hear it. It's amazing how He does that. I listened the other day to something on a quote, Christian radio station, not ours, but it was at night. And I began to listen to something, and I said, man, that sounds good, you know. And all of a sudden, he began to open the Bible and begin to read some Bible. And I recognized, not even without having my Bible, that was not right. That was not right. There was some error there. You know, God gives us discernment. God gives us discernment, you see. We don't need to be led astray by false teachings. We don't need to be tossed to and fro. We might grow up in all things in the person of Christ. We grow up in Him, you see. We grow up in Him and be what He wants us to be by speaking and proclaiming the truth that we know. By speaking and proclaiming the truth of God that we have and that we know. That we do our part in building up the church. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Our responsibility, every believer, no matter who you are today, you supply something to the church. Did you know that? You do. You supply something to the church. Every one of us in the body of the church. Now, we need to grow. We need to serve. And by serving, we do grow. Therefore, we, again, become mature. How do we become mature? First of all, we become mature by putting away childish things. Childish things. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? I once was a child. I spoke as a child, but now I've become a man. I put away childish things, you see. There are things in the Christian life that we need to put away, you know, and grow on and go on and grow in the Lord, you see. Put away childish things. We need to control our thinking. Our thinking. I tell you, I don't know of anything any more a battle to me today in my life as a Christian than my thinking. Are you ever bombarded with wrong thinking? Does anything come in your mind that shouldn't be in your mind? I mean, you know, it's a constant battle. The only way to fight it is to read the Bible. Open the Word of God and begin to read it, you see. And get something good in your mind, you see. Because we live in a world that's wicked, ungodly. And all we hear and all we see, most of it, not all, but the majority of it, is ungodliness. Therefore, we're going to have the tendency to think wrong. But it's our part in building up the church. Every believer supplies something. We also, by striving also after Christ, by striving after Christ, we grow maturely. We grow spiritually. By striving, seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to seek Him first. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. All these things shall be added unto us. as God's children. We're also to be mature by overcoming temptations. Overcoming temptations in our life. We all are tested. We all are tempted. And only by God's grace can we overcome these temptations. But we need to grow up. We need to grow up. We don't stay as babes in Christ. Okay? We mature in Christ. We mature in Christ. And as we mature in Christ, we put away childish things. Okay? We try to develop our understanding. We also, not only that, but we strive after Christ. We seek Him first in our life. And then we are able to overcome temptations. Overcome temptations. Now notice, Christ takes every believer, everyone. Every believer in Christ is important to Him. Amen? He loves everybody, but especially His children. And He takes every Christian, every believer, as mentioned here in verse number 16, He takes every one of us, and He, as the Bible says, we are fitly joined together with other believers. He puts us together like a puzzle, if you please. He knows what He's doing, okay? Sometimes we don't know what we're doing, but God knows what He's doing with His church. And He takes us as believers, and He fitly joins us together. And He has the believers work, who are us, every one of us, supplied by other believers. In other words, other believers encourage us in what we are to do, okay? And therefore, we are working together now. In Christ, this is the way He fitly brings us together and joins us together as a body of believers that we might do the work of Christ, you see. That's what He's speaking about here in this verse, verse number 16. And then the work that you do and the work that I do affect us as believers and also other people around us, see, by seeing what God is doing through us. So the work that every believer is doing this way, everyone helps the body of Christ to increase. Every one of us helps the body of Christ to increase and to grow. Every one of us helps to edify God's body, the body of Christ, in love, by in love. But he got saved not just recently. He came to the church, and when he got here, it just felt like, you know, he was where God wanted him to be. You know, he felt comfortable being here. You see, every time he comes back, he feels the same way. He feels the same way. That's the way it ought to be, folks. That's the way it ought to be. There shouldn't come a person in that door, in these doors, in this church, especially that's a visitor, that we don't make an effort to let that person know that we welcome them, we're glad to have them. And even on Sunday morning, when we come here to Sunday school, when it's before Sunday school time, it's wonderful to see our people mingling together, talking to one another, encouraging one another. You see, it's great to have that fellowship. It really is. And I thank God for that. You see, God helps us. He takes every believer and helps one another. Christ has that ability. He has that gift to give us also to help us to be that way too. Now, we have a challenge as a believer. We have a big challenge as believers in Christ. We have, first of all, a responsibility that rests upon us. We all have a responsibility as God's children. We, everyone, is responsible. What are we responsible for? Number one is to what? Win the lost. Win the lost. We are responsible for winning the lost people in our neighborhood, in our families. We're responsible, folks. Let's don't get that out of our minds. We are responsible. Okay, did you get it? You ain't got it yet. We are responsible in reaching the lost people in our community. We have the responsibility. And also, after we reach them, we to build them up, to encourage them, to encourage them in the Lord, you see. Therefore, if every one of us has been gifted by Jesus Christ a gift to help in this matter, in the church, in a matter, we must give all we are and have to get the job done. Everything we have and all we are to get the job done. Our responsibility as a believer was to serve. The work of the ministry is to serve. It's to serve. Now, the purpose of the believers, first of all, is an immediate purpose. is the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints to help us to grow. Also, an eternal purpose, that is to establish the church. To establish the church. Thirdly, was a personal purpose, that is to grow maturely. Grow up in the Lord. Don't be obeyed. Don't be tossed to and fro by winds of doctrines and all these things that we have in the world today. The more you look up to God, the less you look down to people. The more you look up to God, the less you look down to people. Don't forget that. Whenever I'm down and out, when I'm discouraged, if I examine myself, sometimes, not always, I got my eyes too much on people. The only way I'm going to be encouraged is to keep my eyes upon the Lord. Amen. To keep my eyes upon the Lord. Now, all of you know we have a prayer list here in our church. We read part of the prayer list out every Wednesday night. Now, all these people we need to pray for. Every one of them. But I want you to help me as a class. We have a list, to me, that's more important than any of the others. That's a salvation list. We're seeing some of the sickness come off, aren't we? We're seeing some of the Christian special needs come off once in a while. We're seeing some of the hospital lists come off once in a while, aren't we? But I've been here over 18 years in this church, and I've seen very few. I don't remember one, really, that I know of. Maybe one that has come off the salvation list saved. Folks, I think we're kind of stumbling through, don't you? I think we need to do something about this. I want you to help us. Okay? I want you to help us. If you yourself have put one of these people on this salvation list, you put them on there, okay, because you love them, okay? And I'm thankful that you did that. But if you put that person on there, I have a card in my hand. I want you to take this card. It'll be laying up here. You come up here and get a card. And you fill out this card. Give us that person's name, his address, their address, how somehow we can communicate with that person. Now, we may can't go physically to them. They may be out of town, out of state. But if they are out of town, out of state, we're going to send them something about the gospel. Okay? We're going to send them something to help them to read somehow, to let somebody know that somebody cares. Okay? Now, if we can physically contact that person, we're going to do that. Okay? So if you'll do your part, we'll try to do our part. Okay? And if we get some names in, I may be asking some of you as a class on visitation to go see them. Okay? And let's begin to pray and ask God to help us to see some of these people on this salvation list saved so we can mark them off. Remember I said our first priority as Christians should be what? To win the lost. To win the lost. Okay? So if you put somebody on this salvation list, on our prayer list on Wednesday night, here's a card. Fill it out. If you just put it in the offering plate, it'll be fine. Or if you just want to leave it up here, I don't care. But here they are. Fill them out. Let us know who they are so we can try our best to make a contact to these people. Folks, we can pray all we want to pray. But if we don't put feet on our prayers, Amen. We're not going to accomplish what we ought to accomplish. I believe that with all my heart. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So help us out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for placing us together here as a body of Christ, the church. Lord, please help us. Please, God, give us discernment. Lord, in this thing of trying to reach people for Christ, God, I pray you impress upon our hearts, Lord, the way that we should do it. And God, help us to see results. We're going to commit it to you, especially these, Lord, that are lost on our list. Lord, help us, Lord, somehow to reach them. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Bless our preacher. Anoint him fresh and anew. Give him power to speak what you've laid upon his heart today. Bless the singing. Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's lost, I pray something may be said or done to help them to see their need. They might come to Christ before it's too late. And we want to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.